From Michigan Radio, this is Stateside. I'm April Baer. Congressional leaders say they're close to a deal on a COVID relief package. That's especially important before they break for the holidays. Some unemployment benefits are expiring with the new year. This will leave millions of Americans stranded during a particularly difficult time in American history. In both the U.S. Senate and the House, there are bipartisan work groups trying to come up with workable solutions. In the House, this group is the so-called Problem Solvers Caucus. And two of those members are Michigan representatives. We're speaking today with Fred Upton, Republican, and Alyssa Slotkin, Democrat, and they join us now. Fred, Alyssa, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Can I ask you to summarize the sticking points for lawmakers on both sides of the aisle? Fred, would you like to start us off?
Well, we're very close. I've been part of a smaller group within the Problem Solvers, a bipartisan sort of working group we call the Tiger Team, working with our Senate colleagues on putting together a package. Frankly, we've been working since July on this. They keep moving the goalposts on us, but you know, now it's really got to happen, and we're very close. Just a couple of I's and a couple of T's that need to be dotted and crossed, but in essence, it'll be about $908 billion. It'll involve more money for small businesses through the PPP program. It'll help give the states more money for unemployment insurance, up to $300 a week for folks, and not the $600 that we had, you know, last March, but obviously a welcome sign. Stimulus, individual stimulus checks for individuals, up to probably about $600. We're going to change the income threshold a little bit for eligibility to make sure that all the dollars meet. More money for broadband. Obviously, more money for testing and for helping the states actually distribute the vaccines now that they've been approved, and also for health care for our hospitals as well as our educators. So in a nutshell, those are the major components. $908 billion, we're almost there. We really are. And hopefully this comes to be probably Saturday afternoon, maybe in the House, and probably Sunday or so in the Senate.
Alyssa Slotkin, could you run over some of the sticking points and maybe which of them are still in the bill and which of them are out?
Sure. Well, again, I mean, in a negotiation of $900 billion, no one's going to get every single thing that they want. That's the nature of compromise, particularly in divided government. And that is our job as legislators, is to get something done before Christmas. So with that as our mandate, there's some things that didn't make it in that I know on the Democratic side of the aisle, we were particularly focused on money for state and local governments, right, to help make up the lost revenues due to COVID, not old debts, not pensions, but lost revenues. I will continue to fight for that because I am worried about pink slips for our police, our fire, our first responders, our teachers in 2021. That did not make it in. We did not see some of the liability, the limits to liability that our, some of our businesses and our Republican senators in particular wanted. That could not be negotiated. We couldn't come to agreement on that. So it's not in. And then, of course, there's always a conversation about kind of what is the right amount, you know, the Goldilocks approach, things like on unemployment, right? There's lots of business owners who have lots of different views that $600 per check was a lot. There are people who feel like it's extremely important that we have a lot of money in those unemployment checks every week. So we settled on $300. But the state and local money and the limiting of liability were sort of the big ticket ones that just could not be hammered out. And we can't wait on that, right? We've got an urgent need now.
Well, to that end, I would like to play for you too something that one of our recent guests said. This is a fellow named Mike Wells, who's the owner of Blackfire Winery in Tecumseh. I should be clear, he doesn't live in either of your districts, but he certainly represents what a lot of Michigan business owners and employees are feeling right now. He was very frustrated as he was seeking to apply for a Michigan Economic Development Corporation grant. Let's listen to what he told us.
When I got online, it started at 9 o'clock, and it took me a little bit to get into the site. And there was 10,088 people in line in front of me. And I chose not to close that link. And I did not actually do my application until 7:28 that night. And it's a first come, first serve basis. They've divided the money up by regions And I guess in that time of while I was waiting and doing other things, I was thinking, you know, it was the state of Michigan that shut everybody down. Once I just added up how many breweries, how many wineries, and how many restaurants there are in the state, that's over 17,000 businesses in itself. And I feel like the state is offering us crumbs to run and go grab. And I don't think it's fair. And I don't think it's fair that the state, since they've put us in this position, they're not stepping up to remedy it for everyone.
Now, just to be clear, Mike Wells was thinking about this in terms of state level COVID-related health restrictions. But as I know you're both aware, it would be the federal government's position to offer the kind of massive help to businesses and employees that would have helped him in his difficulties. What do you have to say to people who are angry about this taking so long?
Well, let me just say that we hear his pain. It is a tough time for everyone. There's no question about that. And though neither Alyssa nor I really have much to say about state-managed or state-run programs, I know why they're there, and let's hope that they iron out these wrinkles real quick. As it relates to the federal side of things, it was almost the same with the PPP program. Remember, this is Paycheck Protection. This was normally administered by the Small Business Administration, a federal agency, but when it came to be, and it was literally at the end of the day, it could be pretty close to maybe $800-900, maybe even $1 trillion to help our small businesses. Many of them had the same glitches that this man from Tecumseh was experiencing as well. A new program, no one knew exactly how to get it done, or, you know, it took a long time to get the money. We all stepped in. I mean, I worked directly with our Michigan bankers, with our community bankers, with our credit unions and others to help manage the program that really provided tens of thousands of dollars, even millions of dollars, to some of our small businesses so that they could, in fact, they would have a place to come back to, those folks, when that business reopened up again. And it's not going to be over, you know, early next year until this vaccine really gets out there, which is why we need another round of PPP. And one of the things that we're doing in this legislation that we hope to vote on Saturday is to make sure that those grants then are tax-free. So we make these PPP loans, as they should have been, as the intent was, tax-free as well. So for the guy in Tecumseh, we feel your pain. In the state's defense, it's a new program. Let's hope those glitches get ironed out, just as we hope that the glitches with the PPP, working with our local banks on the federal side, are worked out in this next round as well.
Alyssa Slotkin, we're hearing rumblings that the new relief package will not include money for cities and states to put toward their budget deficits. What can you tell us about why that issue was tabled? We know it was important for Democrats.
Yeah, this is what I was referring to before. That's sort of my biggest disappointment. We heard from so many of our mayors and our firefighters, our police forces, just the importance of getting money to cover lost revenues. And I'll be honest, we have an ideological difference with some of our colleagues in the Senate on whether the federal government should be providing that kind of aid. And frankly, in normal times, I don't support that kind of thing. These are not normal times. And in the end, it became kind of this roadblock, the state and local money, and then the limiting of liability. We tried to trade, frankly. We tried to negotiate and give a little and get a little, but it was just holding up the entire package. And you had to take a moment. And I've been involved in negotiations. You have to make a call at a certain point that are you going to let the perfect be the enemy of the good? And on this, when it's about people losing their unemployment or losing ability to go to a food bank, I mean, we had an urgency there. So it fell out because we could not get to a place where Democrats and Republicans could agree on these two important issues. But we're going to go back at it in January. Don't you worry.
Well, I was just going to concur with Alyssa. I was one that wanted both. I thought that we had a good language for both, not only for liability protections from gross negligence for small businesses that was limited in terms of time, but also, you know, I know as I reached out to a lot of my Michigan folks as it related to funding for state and local, you know, the state of Michigan, we may have a budget hole of maybe as much as $1 billion or $1.5 billion. That's awfully tough. I thought it was a fair deal that we had, and we just couldn't get the senators to come to an agreement. I know that we could have had the votes in the House, but we just couldn't get the votes done in the Senate. And at the end, to get it done by a deadline, knowing that with a new Congress, with a new administration, it will be months before we see another package emerge. We just couldn't wait beyond Christmas to get this thing done, knowing that we've been working so hard really since last summer to try and get this next COVID package done.
Assuming that Congress does revisit COVID relief after the first of the year, should Americans expect another stimulus check and or compensation for their dependent children?
Well, I think it'll depend upon where the economy is. As I said, it'll be a new Congress. You got a new administration that's coming in on January 20th. It'll take a little while for them to get, you know, all their people in place. So you're talking months down the road. So where will the economy be? Do we have four vaccines that are approved? We've got one today with Pfizer. Great news, obviously, coming out of Michigan. Moderna will probably be later this week. AstraZeneca, Johnson & Johnson early next year. Where are we in terms of vaccinating Americans? Where are we in terms of the economy? You know, it'll be the snapshot of where we are in late February or March when the next COVID package would likely begin to move if, in fact, there are still real trouble signs that are out there.
We're talking today with State Representatives Alyssa Slotkin and Fred Upton. They are, respectively, a Democrat and a Republican and part of the bipartisan work group known as the Problem Solvers Caucus. You two are both fairly moderate, center-leaning lawmakers, and your constituents have rewarded you for that with re-election. In Fred's case, many, many times. Fred, right now, you're the only Michigan Republican in Congress who did not sign on to the Texas lawsuit against our state's election results. Paul Mitchell recently left the party, and Justin Amash left the GOP last year. I want to ask both of you if you think moderate politicians can hold on through this particularly partisan time in our history. Alyssa, could you start out? I know that there are a lot of questions within the Democratic Party, too, about whether the way forward is leaning into progressive ideals or reaching across the aisle.
Yeah, you know, I think certainly on the Democratic side, we have a big tent. And what goes on in places like New York is not what people are asking of me in Lansing and in Holly, Michigan. For me, I think what I hope people appreciate is when you're independently minded and when you're practical, when you actually help get something done for people's pocketbooks and kids. And for me, that's what people expect of me in my district. And I feel very passionately about things. But at the end of the day, the job is to legislate and to help people with constituent services. It's not just to have big thoughts that you put out into the internet, it's to actually get something done. That is the school that I come from as a CIA officer and a former Pentagon official. But it's also, I think, what my district asks of me every single day. And I do think that if you just look at the raw numbers, certainly on the Democratic side of the House, the vast majority of us are practical, reasonable people. They may not get all the media attention, but that represents the majority. Otherwise, we wouldn't have the majority in the U.S. House right now. So the most important thing is we've got to have a clear picture of what we want economically and what we're going to help people with in this next Congress. That's our job and our mandate.
Fred Upton, how do you think about growing the center, maybe especially among some of the incoming Republican class?
Well, you know, the Problem Solvers Caucus, and I'm one of the vice chairs on the Republican side, we've been a very valuable ally to really get things done. You take this COVID issue. Again, it was our group that was called into the Situation Room to meet with them. It was the first day on the job for Deborah Birx. What could we do? We talk about masks. We talk about assistance. We talked about Operation Warp Speed. And such exciting news for us in Michigan to see what happened with Pfizer right there in Portage, Michigan, in Kalamazoo County, actually rolling the trucks out this last week. So, you know, as I look at things, and man, we have some detractors. You know, I praised on I don't know, Facebook or Twitter, you know, what was happening with Pfizer, and wouldn't believe some of the hate mail that came my way. You got some people that are never going to be satisfied with anything. But you know what? The country, you know, as I look at the Problem Solvers Caucus, we're roughly, you know, 50 members in this Congress. We're going to be more in the next Congress. So we had a Zoom call yesterday. We do meet every week. We're going to be expanding our numbers in the next Congress. We've got Republicans and Democrats, some current members, some new members that want to join our force. And with divided government, it's going to be close in the House. It's close in the Senate. You know, a new administration, it'll be our group that's going to be called to really govern and try to make some sense out of this place. Not a partisan Republican or a partisan Democratic side, but, you know, taking the best ideas of both, which is frankly what this COVID package is in terms of what we're trying to get done.
Fred Upton represents Michigan's 6th Congressional District. He's a Republican. We've also been talking with Alyssa Slotkin, Democrat, who represents Michigan's 8th. Fred, Alyssa, great talking to you. Stay safe through the holidays.
You bet. Wear your mask.
Bye, guys. Thank you.